The Wisdom of Kabbalah on Audio, from the teachings of Kabbalist Rav Berg, Spiritual Director of the Kabbalah Center. Welcome to Creating Miracles, Tape 5, hosted by Rabbi Michael Moskowitz of New York Kabbalah Center.
This is Rabbi Michael Moskowitz, and now we'll discuss consciousness versus feelings, or what we normally call mind over matter. When a person thinks about mind over matter, what kind of things pop into your head? When I think about it, I envision swamis hovering in the lotus position over a pond, or some type of a mind bender holding a spoon in his hand like Uri Geller, trying to get it to curve over, bend over. Or we might envision hypnosis, or people with Ouija boards and chairs flying around rooms. Those are the kind of normal things that pop into people's minds when that expression, mind over matter, is utilized. If a person has begun some spiritual training, when they think over mind over matter, we've begun to understand that it means the ability of our perception or of our consciousness to create our reality. Our perception and consciousness can create various forms of reality, and we all want various things, and we all need various things. One of the things that we're going to get into is differentiating between desires that can be fulfilled and desires that can't be fulfilled. Or said in another way, what we want from a physical point of view versus what we need to help us grow spiritually. Remember, a person can desire anything or can want anything as long as it doesn't conflict with the rules of the universe. That's why we never put a cap on a person's desires. You just got to follow the rules. Going back to what we first spoke about when we use the expression mind over matter, imagine somebody walking over hot coals. These are the types of tricks that we've come to expect when we hear that phrase mind over matter. If a person can walk over hot coals, or if a person can lie on a bed of nails, is that a display of mind over matter? Absolutely. It's definitely dealing with the energy of mind over matter, but at one limited level. If a person can walk on a bed of hot coals or lie down on nails, it doesn't mean that that individual has removed chaos from their lives. It doesn't mean that they have fulfillment in the area of relationships, or that they have fulfillment in the world of abundance, or it doesn't necessarily indicate that they have perfect health. It's only one state of this idea of mind over matter. We want to connect to the idea of mind over matter in a way where it doesn't conflict with the rules of the universe, and more importantly, where it puts us in touch with our purpose in life. A person can't separate the idea of mind over matter with the idea of what our purpose is in this world, because the idea of mind over matter must support our reason for being here. It's not about a parlor trick that'll just wow a few people. It's about using it in a way that'll help us receive all of the light that we're truly seeking in life. A true spiritual system is not about being able to be successful in one area of life. A true spiritual system gives you all of the tools that you need to be successful in every area of life. If it works, it's got to work for everything. It's got to work for health, for business, and for relationships. When we relate to our purpose in life, it puts us back in touch with the seed of why we came to this world. And we know that we all came here to eliminate chaos from our lives. And everything that we do has to be aligned with that purpose, to eliminate chaos and receive the fulfillment that the Creator intended for us to experience. A person should spend a few minutes every day relating to their purpose in life, meaning, why do we do what we do? Is this thing that I'm about to do going to put me on my path, on my purpose? We know that a very experienced businessman views every decision that he or she makes based on, will this thing that I'm about to do now bring me closer to my goal or bring me farther away from my goal? Will it enhance or will it take away? We should use the same type of logic when we're talking about our spiritual growth. What we're about to do right now, will that help bring me closer to the light of the Creator? Will that remove more chaos from my life? Will that bring me more fulfillment? Or will it take me a step back and just provide me with some temporary immediate gratification? Unfortunately, most people don't have a real purpose in life, or they don't understand what life is really all about, and they function on a day-to-day basis by how they feel. One day they feel great. One day they don't feel so great. One day they're excited at work. One day they're feeling a little bit low. One day they're feeling good about the relationship, one day they're uncertain. It seems that on a regular basis, most of us seems to be directed by our feelings and not by our purpose in life. Now, when we use that expression, mind over matter, the word matter here is actually a code word. It's not just talking about physical things like a table or a spoon that you can bend or a bed of hot coals that you can walk over and not feel the pain. Matter is a code word for the physical world that we live in, the physical reality of effects. We know, according to Kabbalah, that the cause of everything is the light of the Creator, and the physical world that we live in are effects. Feelings, also falling in the realm of the physical world, is connected to the energy of effects and never the cause. So we're going to see that mind over matter means that our consciousness is controlling the realm of results in our life. Mind, meaning our consciousness, our ability to direct our thoughts, is going to be used to control the realm of effects or the realm of results in our everyday activities. And when we use the expression consciousness over feelings, it's similar to saying mind over matter. We're going to learn about how we can use our consciousness or mind to control our feelings. Again, like everything, this seems to be a paradox. Because for most people, what seems to come first? Feelings. You're involved in something, and a rush of feelings suddenly overcomes you. You see someone, you're either turned off or turned on, or maybe you feel neutral. You're involved in a business project, you feel bored or you feel excited. It seems that feelings are the first things that we can perceive. And not only that, we are motivated, seemingly, by our feelings. If I feel good, then I'll help somebody. I'll go out of my way. Or maybe I feel good and I just want to keep all that good energy for myself. I feel bad. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. Or I feel bad. Maybe I'll go out and catch a movie and cheer myself up. In all these examples, it seems that feelings are the motivating factor to get us up and going. We first need to understand a little bit better, what does consciousness mean? Consciousness is the way that we think. It's the way we inject energy into our lives. It's our paradigm of knowing, our vision of the universe, our spiritual cookie cutter, so to speak, of how the light enters our being. Everybody's consciousness can be shaped in a different way, and how your consciousness is shaped will create a template for how the light enters your life. We can use that shaping ability of our consciousness to direct how we want the light to come in and how our feelings will manifest as a result, as opposed to thinking that it's the feelings that are the cause and the action is the effect of the feeling. Even scientists today are talking about this idea of how perception creates reality. It's no longer relegated to the realm of the mystics. If you talk to a quantum physicist, they'll tell you that a house is there because you say it's there. I know it sounds like something from Zen or Kabbalah, but these are how physicists are talking today. Even though science seems to agree with Kabbalah in terms of our perception creating our reality, it doesn't always seem to work that way in our everyday experience. What do I mean? Maybe some of you have read about how some people use the power of consciousness or the power of their minds to overcome chronic illness. And haven't we all read at least one or two accounts of people that were able to overcome cancer, for instance, using the power of the mind, power of positive thinking, power of understanding the process of what's happening from a spiritual point of view and overcoming the disease? But for the most of us, can we say that that's true? For most of us, can you say mind over matter will defeat cancer? Mind over matter will defeat the bad relationship or the poor business scenario? It seems to only work sometimes, but not always. That's been our experience. Does perception always create our reality, or only sometimes? This is the beginning of the problem. In order for us to understand how this really works, let's go back and understand again, why was the universe created? What created the universe? How was the original vessel created? We know that all of creation began with what we call in Kabbalah the original thought. And the original thought was a desire to share. This was the first thought that was introduced into creation. First, all there was the light of the Creator. The only thing, from a Kabbalistic point of view, that was really created was a desire to share this energy of the Creator. And then came a vessel to receive that light of the Creator, and all of the primordial souls of mankind. And as we teach in our Kabbalah 1 course, that original vessel shattered and became the multitude of souls that make up mankind as we know it today. So we know that it was the original thought to share goodness and light that created the universe. Kabbalah is saying that the universe was created with the power of thought, or the power of consciousness, but our thoughts, the things that go through our minds, seemingly are created by the universe. Our patterns of thinking seem to be effects of the stimuli that we experience on a daily level. I get fired, I feel bad. I get a raise, I feel happy. The woman wants to date me, I'm excited. She's ignoring me, I'm upset. From our everyday activities again, it seems that how we experience things is the exact opposite of the original way the universe was created. If we think about it a little bit further, when a person moves their hand, how is your hand moving? Isn't it true that your mind is moving your hand? Can anybody move their hand without a thought passing through their brain? You say, hand move, and your hand moves. First comes the thought, then comes the physical action. A person doesn't first build a house and then say, let's create a plan for building a house. I know some people like to do it that way, but that's not the recommended procedure. For people that are approaching house building in a logical way, you first go to an architect, you draw up a building plan, and then you build the vision that already existed in the state of consciousness. In the real reality, it is always thought, which is the cause, which precedes physicality, which is always the effect. Our problem is we become slaves to the effect and forget that it's the world of consciousness where everything begins, and we should direct our energy towards the world of consciousness, because if you want to heal something, heal it at the beginning, not at the effect level. Create the healing in the area where it started, at the seed level. Healthy seed, you have a chance of having a healthy tree. If the seed is sick, you have a guarantee of having a sick tree. Every farmer knows that, but we don't practice that in our lives. When the Creator thought about creation, creation appeared. That's the nature of the Creator. Because in the world of the Creator, there's no barrier between cause and effect. They're combined. With the cause, the effect immediately appears. In the same respect, mind over matter should be one of our main goals in life. Because when we practice mind over matter, or consciousness over feelings, what we're doing is we're creating an affinity with the Creator. Just as the Creator thinks and it automatically appears, our consciousness will create our physical reality. So when we talk about behaving like God, we can't separate that from mind over matter. Now please don't forget that we all have the power of infinite fulfillment within us because the light of the Creator is within us. As we spoke about in the first class, we each have 10 dimensions of the light within us. We have the limited self and the unlimited self. We want to run away from the limited self and only connect to the unlimited self, to the godlike feature that exists within every one of us. Now, we've been trained not to recognize this godlike feature, and we've been trained not to recognize how our consciousness creates our reality. We don't see tomorrow today. We don't see how time and the senses create barriers between what we did yesterday and what we're doing today. In our life, it takes a few days sometimes, or a few hours, or perhaps a few years, in order for manifestation to take place. What do I mean? When the Creator thinks about something, it happens automatically. When we think about something, does it automatically appear right away? I'm dreaming about an ice cream cone. Does that mean an ice cream cone appears in my hand right away? No. I have the thought of having an ice cream cone. Then I have to go and get some money and walk to the store and purchase the ice cream, and then I can eat it and enjoy it. As opposed to the Creator, we have process that separates cause and effect. Now, the interesting thing about this process is within the process, you can forget what the cause was because you're now so involved with the effect. While you're eating the ice cream, you might have totally forgotten about that original thought of you being hungry and wanting to taste the ice cream. In life, it's the same thing. When we're involved with a difficulty, very often, we're so focused just on the difficulty, we forget about what was the original thought or what was the reactive thinking process that might have created this unhealthy tree in our life. Like the Creator, it was the same with Adam. In the Bible, when Adam existed in the Garden of Eden before the state of the sin, which means falling into the state of uncertainty and the physical world as we know it today, if Adam felt good, then everything was okay today. Because for Adam, consciousness and feeling were combined. Today we have that separation because in the physical universe there is separation between cause and effect. Consciousness is the cause. Feeling is the effect. And it can never be that feeling is the cause for anything. And if we run our life just based on feelings, we will experience chaos because it's effect-oriented living. It's victim-oriented living. I feel a certain way, and therefore, whatever I do, I'll use my feeling as the excuse for my action. I can't emphasize how important it is for us not to fall into the trap of thinking, if I don't feel a certain way, therefore I won't do it. Or if I feel a certain way, I must do it. Feelings can't be the only barometer. They can't be the only gauge that we use to motivate our actions in life. The feeling must be associated with our purpose in life. And our purpose in life must be to reveal the light of the Creator if we want to experience true happiness and true joy. So let's not just rely on our feelings. If this is the case, then what is the purpose of feeling? It seems up to this point that feelings are just getting in our way from growing spiritually. We're saying that feelings are the effect, that they're not the cause. We're saying that feelings can easily function as a blockage from us to receive the light of the Creator, prevent us from going after something that we need spiritually, or push us to go after something that we don't need spiritually. So what is the purpose of feeling? This is an amazing thing, because up to this point in our lives, we might have functioned totally based on how we feel about things. Now we're going to learn that feelings have a place. They have a function, not more, not less. Feelings propel us to act. Feelings push us to do things. A lot of times people think about things, but they never do anything about it. A lot of people have great thoughts. I have an idea to start a business. I have an idea to ask this person out on a date. I have an idea to improve the relationship with my wife or husband. I have an idea or a thought to start a health regimen that's going to make my body healthier and feel better. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you're going to do it. Feeling or emotion is the force that actually propels us to action. It motivates us to take the consciousness that we had in potential and manifest it on the physical level. Everything starts with consciousness, because consciousness, which is thought, belongs to the realm of the light. That's the cause. Feelings are a result of that. But feelings can be beneficial to help push you to act.